Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Good afternoon. It's time for you to Ask the Mayor. I'm Adam Ragusea, here to be your host for Ask the Mayor. This is our last time we're going to have Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop on the show, at least in the foreseeable future. The numbers to call to speak with Mayor McKillop are 877-285-9348. A local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real well, Adam. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm looking forward to having this talk with you today. It's an opportunity for us to not only talk about a couple of recent events, but to also just have a retrospective of your term and to look ahead to what you see the future holds for the city of Kokomo.
Sounds good.
Getting at recent events, the Kokomo Common Council has continued to demonstrate an inability to work with the mayor's office or vice versa in the last couple of weeks. I have to say that I was surprised that your proposal for city tornado sirens was tabled. I figured that one for a winner.
It is a winner for our community, and I guess a word I would use is disappointment. And not only disappointment because they've done what's wrong for our community, but also disappointed in that the council was the one who asked me to please bring this forth to them. They sent it to their committee. Their committee approved it unanimously. The committee sent it to the full council. It passed on the first reading, and then only later, when the council decided to again start playing politics, did they decide to vote it down. And I think it's a big mistake. It's certainly bad for our community. We don't have tornado sirens, and certainly we've been hit with storms in the past, and you know, it's just another example of where the city administration has jumped through the hoops and done everything that the city council has asked us to do, and then they, at the last minute, basically waste our time and unfortunately hurt our community. And, you know, as you mentioned, they've got a reputation in the last several years of, I believe, compromising their integrity on some issues, but now they're compromising the safety of our community, and that's just going far, way too far.
I know that Mayor-elect and Councilman Goodnight had made some statements to the newspaper after that meeting saying that he would like to look ahead to a comprehensive tornado alert system that looks at mobile communications devices, text messaging, cell phones, things along those lines. I imagine you would say that that's not quite realistic to cover all the citizens of Kokomo.
No, what I would say is, you know, on something like storm protection, and it's not just tornado, there's other types of events that these systems can be used for, that you need several tools in your toolbox, and that certainly getting a hold of people on their cell phones is one, you know, with text messaging, as is just beginning to be tested at some of the universities, is one technology that's out there. Weather radios, which is something I've been a big proponent of, is another tool that should be in the community's toolkit of options, as are outside storm warning devices, because, one, a lot of people don't have the cell phones, if you're outside doing some activity, whether it's a Little League game or one of our festivals or working in your yard, and if you're like me, you probably don't have your cell phone on your hip when you're out mowing the yard, none of those technologies are going to help you, and that's why you need multiple solutions. Just as you can be in your house sleeping and the tornado sirens can go off and you may not hear them, as happened, you know, down in Evansville.
Sure.
a year and a half ago. So you need multiple tools in there, and this is a case where we've studied it thoroughly. The city council had asked us to go forth with it. We did it. We were doing what's right for the community, and unfortunately the city council, led by Council Karakoff, President
Karakoff,
decided to play nasty politics and hurt our community, and I just, God help, you know, look over us and hope we don't have any storms where the city council is going to really regret this decision.
We may touch on this again in a moment, but for the time being, we have Dick on the line. Dick, you're on WFIU with Mayor McKillop.
Mayor, you brought government access television to Kokomo. Now, what do you see for its future?
Thanks for the question, Dick.
Thank you, Dick. Government access television is extremely important. It's one way that government can make itself more accessible and more transparent to our citizens, the people who pay the bills for government and who need to know what government is doing or not doing to serve them. And this whole issue of the tornado sirens is a perfect example of where having the council meetings on public access TV would be good. They're not today, and they should be, but the citizens could have seen firsthand the nasty politics being played out and that the community's interests were not being served. But public access television, government access is, I believe, extremely important. We were able to bring it into Kokomo in a very inexpensive way. Much of the equipment and services were donated. It allows us to market our community, to make people feel pride in our community, but more importantly, to let them see how the money that the hard-earned money that our taxpayers are funneling into government are being spent. And I hope that the next administration sees the benefit of government access TV and includes it. Unfortunately, again, as has happened too much the last few years, the city council got involved with our government access television station, and since they got involved over 6 months ago, nothing has changed. There's not been any new programming except for the board meetings, which I have had videoed and put online. But hopefully the politics will tone down a little bit as we get into the honeymoon period for the next administration, and the city council will see the errors of its way and continue to fund KGov. We've set up the mechanism where it can be funded through our Economic Development Income Tax Fund. And more importantly, the council will do what they've been unwilling to do, and that is to say yes to having the cameras come in and video council meetings. Now, the next mayor doesn't need their permission to do it. I was simply trying to cooperate and be nice, and had asked the city council's permission before we sent cameras in, and to date they've refused to respond to our request, and that's unfortunate.
Well, I'll step in for a moment and say from experience here that having cameras on government meetings doesn't always have entirely positive effects, but absolutely, I see your point, Mr. Mayor. Dick, do you have a follow-up to that?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much for your question.
Yeah, I think sometimes it can lead to, as you might get some grandstanding,
mm-hmm.
But certainly we've had all of that without all the grandstanding that I can imagine without cameras in there. But what I like about having the cameras is it holds them accountable. Our newspapers have not done a good job of holding our city council accountable and accurately reporting what happens, which I think is one of the reasons why our papers are opposed to KGov is because they don't want the public to see firsthand exactly what goes on. You know, the newspaper has to summarize it down to two paragraphs where a videotape can show the full hour of some of the political antics that go on. And I think we would have a lot different makeup of our city council if our citizenry could see how some of the members behave when they're on that city council.
That's a good segue into looking at some issues a little bit through the lens of retrospect. Where exactly would you say along the line in your administration, Mayor McKillop, did your relationship sour with certain members of the local press?
Well, it started the night of the election with the city council, a city councilman who was very angry that I won the election. Councilman Bob Hayes from the Democrat Party stood up and proclaimed that he was going to make this a bumpy road for Kokomo, and certainly from day one in my administration, he went about doing that, he and others, by saying things that I believe were absolutely false or certainly distortions from the floor of the city council. And in retrospect, we sat silently and didn't respond to all of those negative attacks, and just because I thought it would be a continuation of negative campaigning. And that in retrospect was a mistake to allow several years of just ridiculous claims to be said from the floor of the city council meeting and not be responded to. And I should have responded as I have on the sirens. And just the other day, there were some more ridiculous claims that related to our parking meters mm-hmm. downtown.
Let's clarify for our audience what the proposal on the table there is. You have proposed increasing the fees from, they're at $3 now?
$3.
And,
those are fines, not
fines,
fees.
I'm sorry.
Fines for illegal parking.
Okay. And then bumping that up to 15.
Yeah, and the in Kokomo, you know, most people that come here, they absolutely laugh at our parking fines because it's cheaper to pay the fine here than it is to park in most cities. And we are losing money, losing taxpayer funds on the parking meters as they stand now. It costs more for us to service them and to check the meters than we're getting on the money that we collect, not even looking at the fines, just the money we collect from them. But the reason we wanted to up the fines is that we have many, especially attorneys and county employees in town, who choose to pay the fine rather than park in the county parking lots. And it's just a fine that's long needed to be up. The council had, in fact, several of the councilmen for years, even before I was mayor, had said they wanted the fines increased. And so, you know, obviously we had a lot of things to do. We finally got this at the top of the priority list and put forth an ordinance to increase the fines. And the same thing, did what the council asked. Council passed it on the first reading and then later started some ridiculous statements from the floor saying that I was going to
privatize,
outsource,
right?
the parking meter system, and that's why I was trying to up the fees, and then played politics. And again, didn't serve our community well and voted the proposal down.
Is there no truth to that?
Is there new what?
Is there no truth to that?
Absolutely no truth, and had even one of the councilmen called me to discuss it, they would have known that there was no truth to it. So, the fines are in no way related to making improvements to the parking meters. There need to be improvements made, and outsourcing is one of the options, but these two are not linked at all, and we have no projects going on right now to look at changing our parking meter system. So there was absolutely no truth to it.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. We've got about another 15 minutes of the mayor's time, and this is Mayor McKillop's last time on the program for this term. And again, in keeping with that, I'd like to go ahead and look ahead and look behind a little bit. And let's look ahead right now. I very much enjoyed, Mr. Mayor, reading your very fine commentaries on the mayor's debates in the Kokomo Perspective over the course of the campaign. And there was a paragraph in your column that came after the second debate that really stuck out at me. And I'm going to read it for our listeners here.
Okay.
And I'd like you to – well, we'll get there. You're talking about Greg Goodnight, ultimately the mayor-elect. I was very disappointed to hear Goodnight say that mayors should not be mavericks. If indeed Kokomo is at a crossroads, as Goodnight says, then doing things the same way and waiting for a consensus will never achieve better results. Towns around the Midwest that are growing are not doing so by avoiding risk and by electing caretaker mayors. These cities have progressed because of a results-driven agenda and a willingness to change the direction of the cities in spite of the political fallout. I want you to – I'd like you, Mr. Mayor, to expand on that line of thinking a little bit. But first of all, did you see Councilman Goodnight's statement that mayors should not be mavericks as a tacit criticism of your administration?
No, I don't. You know, I don't believe so. And without a doubt, we've tried to be maverick, and that is what I was asked to do by the people who first recruited me to run for mayor, and certainly those who supported me, because Kokomo was headed in the wrong direction. And Kokomo needed some serious change in terms of not only the running of government, but in the way that our city looked and operated. And I'm proud to say that we have made changed the direction of Kokomo significantly. And we did that by taking risks, and risks that other cities have taken for years. And I'll just give you a good example.
Please.
Columbus, Indiana, is fortunate to have many, many foreign firms located in and around their city, largely Japanese firms or Asian firms. And they did that 25 years ago by having city administrations that took the risk, that took the political heat, to go out and make trade missions to Japan when nobody else was doing it. And now they have, I believe, something like 13 Japanese companies mm-hmm. located in Columbus, because 25 years ago an administration had the determination and took the risk to start trade missions, and luckily several subsequent administrations continued to do that. And in Kokomo, you know, we have to make similar risks, which is why just over a year and a half ago I made the first ever trade mission from Kokomo and accompanied the governor to go to Japan. Mm-hmm. And if we don't continue taking risks and doing things like that, then we will sit back and watch the auto companies close in Kokomo and watch what's happened to too many Midwestern cities happen in Kokomo and lose our employment base completely. And that's certainly not a direction that any mayor would want to do, I would hope, and certainly a caretaker mayor would not be the right kind of mayor to have to lead that kind of change. I personally believe that Greg Goodnight knows that and that he will take some risks on things such as trade missions.
Are you feeling optimistic about the Goodnight administration?
Well, I am. I've had an opportunity to sit down with Greg Goodnight a week ago Friday. I'm going to meet with him again this Friday. I've been doing everything I can to make sure that he knows everything about city government.
And he's already holding over some of your department heads.
He's kept some, yeah, he absolutely has. He's kept some of them on, and I'm pleased to see that. And he's you know, I think it's good to have a mix of new talent and old talent, and at least the three, I'll call it old talent, that he's keeping on are very experienced and very capable people who I believe will continue some of the important changes that we brought about for the last 4 years.
Looking back over the course of your term, what would you say was your biggest accomplishment?
Well, there's two. There's an internal accomplishment, and which is not very visible to our residents, and then there's the external. And the external would be transforming the entire, I'll say, the aesthetics or quality of life of our city. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, and before I was mayor, we were known as a Rust Belt city, a dying industrial city. If you drove around, you saw a lot of abandoned buildings. You saw homes in state of disrepair. You saw yards with weeds all over them. You saw a Superfund site that hadn't been attended to for years. And that was our number one priority that we put under improving our aesthetics, or really the beautification of town. So now when you come into Kokomo, you'll notice that our neighborhoods look nice. We have beautiful stretches of long new sidewalks. Our downtown looks better than it ever has. I would put our downtown against any downtown in Indiana in terms of the way it looks and the occupancy rates that we enjoy. Our Superfund site is now, the main 80 acres is now cleaned up. The creek is being cleaned up, and we've got plans to turn that into a new recreation facility. So that, I think, is the most visible. The whole beautification effort is the most beautiful or the most visible to our citizens. Internally, my biggest accomplishment was when I became mayor, I inherited what the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns called the worst financial disaster to strike a city ever, which meant, you know, we were looking at possibly having to lay off a third of our workforce. And I remember meeting with our employees early on and outlining some steps we were going to have to take to balance the books and get the city back on a good financial status. And I looked them in the eyes, and I pledged that if they would work with me and help me to do this, none of them would lose their jobs. And I'm proud to say that we weathered that storm. It took about a year to get through it. We fixed the problem, and they kept their commitment to me and worked their tails off and sacrificed. And likewise, I kept my commitment to them, and none of them lost their jobs. And so those, I think, are ultimately the two things that I'm most proud of. But I'll tell you, the team of 525 employees that work in the city of Kokomo have done remarkable things the last 4 years, and we could talk from now until this time next month about everything they've done.
I'll remind our listeners that we're speaking with Mayor Matt McKillop of the city of Kokomo here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. We have just about 10 more minutes of the mayor's time today, and this is the last time, at least in the foreseeable future, that we're going to have Mayor McKillop on the program. The number to call toll-free to speak with Mayor McKillop, and we did have a call earlier in the program, we'd love to have another one, 877-285-9348, or you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mr. Mayor, what would you say was the proposal that you had floated over the course of your term that you were most disappointed to see not succeed? Was it Grow Kokomo?
Well, of course, first Grow Kokomo was put in place, and then later, you know, and we had several families move to Kokomo because of Project Grow Kokomo. And just for your listeners to know, that was an incentive that we put in place to help encourage people who were working in Kokomo, making their living here, but choosing not to live in Kokomo. We gave a housing incentive grant to have those people move into the city limits. And we did have several families that participated in that, and I'm glad that they moved into the city. Unfortunately, the city council decided to yank the funding out from under it, and I guess the proposal I was most disappointed in not seeing move forward was some major improvements that we had planned for our signature park. Is it's called Highland Park, mm-hmm. and we had it's been in need of repair for many, many years, and it was really worsened when we had some serious flooding in 2003, and we had put together a great plan to make that an even better park than it has been, and that proposal got held up. So I think that's probably, as I look back, the one thing that I wish we could have got done that we did not get done. And then number two on the list would be when we got the new Congress last year, and the new Democrat-controlled Congress, they yanked some funding that we needed to quickly do some more work on our Superfund site. So I hope that that funding gets restored next year and the improvements on that site can continue.
I hate to drag the conversation down, but I do have to ask, Mr. Mayor, looking back over your term, I know that you feel a bit, I don't want to say victimized, but for lack of a better term, victimized by the treatment that you received by Mike Karakoff and others in the council over the course of your term. I'm wondering if you feel that there's anything that you could have done from your chair to have improved that working relationship, and if there's anything there that can be learned for the next mayor's administration.
Oh, certainly. I mean, you know, early on there were some things that could have been done, but you know, anybody that knows, when you've got a council that's got 3 to 4 people who, you know, within 6 months of you being elected say that they're running for mayor and already kind of pre-announced it, and Mike was just one of those that had made his intentions known, it immediately starts some political game playing going on. And, you know, I guess I came from the business world. My biggest disappointment in comparing business to politics is that, and this does go on in business some, but just folks that are completely willing to compromise their integrity almost completely to achieve some kind of political gain, whether it's good for the community or not, was eye-opening to me at the level that it would go to. So, you know, I think fundamentally with our party system, looking at it in retrospect, I could have maybe danced a little more with the good old boys, and maybe they wouldn't have been fighting with me quite as much as they did. But ultimately, I wanted to accomplish what I set out to do, and if that to me was more important to be able to accomplish what we needed to do and to look myself in the mirror every morning and know that I was doing what I promised the voters I would do and not compromising on that or my integrity. So, you know, I'm not one to look back very often, but, yeah, you know, the one thing I guess I could look back on and say, where I gave the council the opportunity to start attacking me was when we did fix the city's financial problems, and because of some horrendous votes that the city council made, I was able to basically go to the state and get our tax rate restored to the level that it was prior to all of those mistakes that, you know, had I involved the council a little bit more there, that probably we could have initially avoided the problems. But they were bound to happen when we have 3 to 4 gentlemen on the city council, all of whom say that they're going to run for mayor and start playing politics early on.
I'd like to look ahead for the remaining 5 minutes of the program here, Mr. Mayor. Again, could you just share a little bit more of what your impressions are of Mayor-elect Goodnight? And we should mention that you've had some kind words to say about him in the past, and he is a person from your opposing party.
Well, yeah, but you know, when it comes down to removing snow and picking up trash, putting in sidewalks, and the things that a mayor has to do and do well, it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And what's important to me as somebody who was born and raised in Kokomo is that the long-term future of Kokomo be secured. So it's important that I work with Mayor-elect Goodnight to make sure that he can be as successful as possible. And I would have done that, you know, had someone else won the election. So that, to me, is a duty. That's one of the things that the taxpayers and residents expect me to do. But I certainly hope that Mayor-elect Goodnight will continue to take this turn that we've started the city on to change the way the city looks and to make it more attractive to creative class workers and high-tech companies, and to continue turning that ship as it needs to. Because if they see my defeat as being a defeat because of changing the course and try to change it back to the way it was, then unfortunately we'll be in a crash course with a lot of other cities that have been in decline, and I don't want that for Kokomo.
If you could sit down and write out Greg Goodnight's agenda for his first month in office, what would be item number one?
Oh, boy. Well, the most important thing right away to our long-term economic development future is U.S. 31
right.
And the new expressway that they're going to build along there. So, you know, that would be it. But, you know, what I would probably ask him to do first would be to sit down and really put together his own strategic plan of four or five things that he really wants to accomplish and carve those in stone and just put all the city's efforts against doing that. But certainly right at the top of the list on that needs to be properly handling U.S. 31 and the expressway and all the many projects that's going to result in locally.
I know that in spite of all of the achievements that you did have in terms of improving the look of and the feel of downtown Kokomo, you had some more work you were hoping to do with the Courthouse Square that got stymied in the end. I'm wondering if you think that work has a future in the Goodnight administration.
Well, it may. I think you might be talking about the bump out.
Yeah.
We did make a lot of improvements to the square. Your listeners may need to know that it's the county government that actually is responsible for the property on the inner part of the square. So the outer part of the square looks fantastic. The county, which is not quite as progressive and doesn't understand quite as much about the importance of aesthetics, hasn't invested as much. But we did go ahead and invest some on the inner part with their permission and put up the old-style lighting and right now the Christmas decorations and the flower baskets in the spring and fall. But, you know, I know that many of the people who supported me, including business leaders that are proponents of more improvements downtown, supported Mayor-elect Goodnight, so I'm hopeful that they'll get his ear and that he will be able to make some more improvements downtown. But, you know, as I've already reviewed with him and with the full city council, our future financially is grim. Our income is potential for income is diminishing, and the costs of city government are going up. So, you know, as the future comes on, there's going to be less and less opportunity to invest city resources into major projects to improve our community.
Do you fear at all that coming as Mayor-elect Goodnight does from a background in organized labor and in the auto manufacturing industry, that he represents a little bit of the economic old guard of the city?
I wouldn't use the word fear. You know,
okay.
I think that's maybe too strong a word. You know, I think certainly there's some concern that he may listen to some of the people who resist change and who don't understand the new global economy and its benefits in the long term, even though short term, towns like Kokomo go through some radical difficulties as the economy shifts from a manufacturing economy to a creative class economy. And so there's, you know, there's some concern there that he might get some bad advice. But again, as I said, a lot of the people who supported me and business leaders in town, who, by the way, are traditionally Republican, but this time supported a Democrat, I hope that they'll have his ear and that they will continue to let him know that we need to be a progressive community, a community that embraces change and diversity and things like foreign company investments into Kokomo, and that you know, we'll look back 30 years from now and say that he continued many of the changes that started in the year 2004.
Well, in 30 seconds or less, Mr. Mayor, what does 2008 hold for Matt McKillop?
Well, I'm not 100% sure yet, you know. And one of the things it holds is that I've got a new baby on the way.
Oh,
sometime,
great.
Sometime in 2008, middle of 2008, I'll be celebrating the birth of a baby. So I suppose that's the biggest thing in my
Absolutely.
Life. Absolutely. What's that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, you know, I've got a few job offers right now and a few more in the pipeline. So here in the next couple of weeks, I'll be making a decision about the organization that I'm going to work with and what I'm going to be doing next. But I think 2000 for me is going to be a good year. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, sir. Well, we'll keep an eye on you. Thank you so much for joining us, as always, and for joining us throughout your term. This has been Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Matt McKillop. I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us again next week when Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong will be our guest. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Paskash, thanks for listening.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.